1 Thessalonians 5, our portion is verses 23 through 28. These are God's words. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We've been receiving instructions in the previous two passages on loving one another well, and loving the Lord well. Loving one another well in verses 12 through 15, and then being mindful of the Lord in all things, so that we always have him as our cause for rejoicing, or always lifting our hearts and looking to him and praying, and of course knowing him and his abundance and his faithfulness, always giving thanks to him, and therefore taking our direction from his word, treating all of his word as weighty and important, and using it to test all things, so that we may live this holding fast to good and refusing evil life. In other words, he's been commanding us to be sanctified. But the thing about sanctification is that we can't do it ourselves at all. But there is someone who can do it completely. The God of peace sanctifies our whole spirit completely. Our soul and body, this two-part description of what we are, he will preserve blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is both able to sanctify us, to make us holy, and to preserve us. He sanctifies our spirit. He preserves our soul and body. Everything is safe in his hand. And it's safe in his hand because he is the God of peace, verse 23, and because he is faithful in verse 24, and of course because he is powerful. So the Lord is the one who keeps us in holiness, and the Lord is the one who preserves our entire existence, body and soul. We then look to the Lord for one another, are affectionate like the Lord with one another, and speak not just for the Lord, but by the Lord to one another. So you look at verse 25 and 26 and 27, and you see, brethren, pray for us. You see, it's not just the Thessalonians who have things to do for the good of man and for the honor of God. Paul and Silvanus, Silas and Timothy have things to do for the good of man and for the glory and honor of God. It's not just the Thessalonians that need to be sanctified completely, but also Paul and Silas and Timothy need to be sanctified completely. And since God is the one who will do it, the apostle asks them to pray to the God who does it. Ask him who does it to do it. So this combines the two things. Loving one another well and living always before the face of God means we don't just pray without ceasing for ourselves, verse 17, but that we also pray for one another. We pray for one another. In the second place, we show affection to one another. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, we don't live in a friendship-kissing culture. Most of the world actually has. Throughout most time, and even much of the world does now. But touch gives us a method of communicating something to someone in a very direct way. If you take like a business interaction course, they'll teach you a handshake. Men used to teach their sons how to shake hands. A very firm handshake, look them in the eye, not too light of a smile, But a positive countenance depends on the person. Anyway, touch allows us to communicate very directly. And in our churches, we can graduate from handshakes to hugs. The hand on the shoulder, with a squeeze, a slap on the back. The more we do, the more natural and less awkward it becomes. But even though the Corinthian culture was a friendship kissing culture, this was not the same as other kisses. It was a holy kiss. It was a kiss that said, I am a saint set apart unto Christ, and you are a saint set apart unto Christ. And I'm now giving you affection that is going to last forever. Affection that is not weird and awkward or perverted or puerile on the earth, but affection that reaches down from heaven and out to eternity. And so we should try to have a culture in the church of showing affection to one another, even with these sanctified forms of whatever sorts of touch communication are appropriate among good friends and family. And in the third place, not only do we pray to God for one another and show the affection of God to one another, but we speak not just for God, but by God to one another. He says, verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, all the saint brethren. And so he's urging them to read to one another the words that the Spirit has carried him along to write. It's good for us to read Scripture to one another, to speak Scripture to one another. This is one of the greatest ways that the Lord has loved us and blessed us. So if we want to love and bless one another, doesn't it make sense that we would do this thing that is one of the Lord's greatest ways that he has loved us and blessed us? And of course, all of these things will not be effectual except that the Lord Jesus make them effectual. Praying is not effectual unless Christ makes it effectual. Affection between believers is not effectual unless Christ makes it effectual. And certainly, reading and addressing one another with his word is not effectual unless Christ makes it effectual. So he finishes with that which is needed to make effectual all of these things. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself became a man to save us, to be our Redeemer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for this brief time that we could spend in it. And we pray that you would help us to love one another well, that we would see that you are the one who is sanctifying us and you are the one who is preserving us, and that we would then strive for one another's holiness and one another's well-being in prayer and in the showing of Christian affection and in edifying one another with your word. And do come alongside us by your Spirit, we pray, as he exercises his almighty power to work in us and in our brethren by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.